everybody. Love this is
Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Steve Callis.
A long
Callis.
Time ago.
Go ahead, Steve. You're
Hello,
good.
Everybody. This is Steve Callis in New York City. We're going to do an NFL preview show, and we are honored to have as our guest the most versatile broadcaster in the country. He's here today, of course, in his capacity as a Fox play-by-play NFL announcer, and it's a thrill to have Kenny Albert with us to discuss the playoffs. Kenny, how are you today? It's Steve Callis in New York City.
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. Let's get right to it. We've got four games to get to. I think we'll take them, if it's okay with you, in the order in which they're going to be on television. We'll start Saturday afternoon, 4:30 p.m. on NBC, and that'll be the Bengals at the Houston Texans. Obviously, the storyline is the Texans, at least record-wise, the best team in football early on. Crumbled a little bit down the stretch, 1-3 last four. Cincy, the exact opposite, 7-1 last eight. Give us your general big game, big view thoughts on this game.
Well, I think, Steve, you know, Houston, like you said, best record in football early on. Houston and Atlanta, for a while, were on that collision course, you know, as far as the best record in the NFL. Unfortunately, the Texans lose Brian Cushing early, one of the leaders on their defense. J.J. Watt has a great season. Matt Schaub, you know, bouncing back from the injury last year. He misses the entire month of December in 2011, misses the playoffs. They win a game and then lose, you know, in the divisional round. Cincinnati, you know, the team kind of under the radar, but Marvin Lewis has done a great job, gets the Bengals to the playoffs for the second straight year, young quarterback and Andy Dalton, good defense. So I think it'll be a close game. I really do. I think Houston will prevail in a close game. And, you know, unfortunately for the Texans, you know, they were looking at that bye for – you know, so deep into the season and now have to play on wild card weekend, but I think the Texans win this one.
Well, it's interesting. Obviously, you know, the Texans won this same game last year, 31-10, with the immortal T.J. Yates at quarterback. But this year, on the Cincy side, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis over from the Patriots, 1,094 yards rushing, 4 yards a carry. I mean, he's been excellent for them. He did have a hamstring injury. He did practice yesterday. He is expected to play. I think a lot of these games, and we'll talk through the four of them, Kenny, a lot of these games, a lot of these teams rely on very good running attacks. They're not the aerial show, even though some of their quarterbacks have great numbers. And I think this is an interesting game in that respect. Arian Foster, of course, one of the best backs in the league, 1,424 yards, 15 touchdowns. But let me focus on one injury on each side. For Houston, Tim Dobbins, their inside linebacker, he has an injured ankle. He did not practice Wednesday. That stops, you know, he's a key guy in stopping the run. And again, Green Ellis, he hurt his hamstring in the warm-ups last Sunday and did not play. Arguably more of a precaution. He did return to practice yesterday. How do you think those two injuries would affect this game?
Well, I think, unfortunately, Steve, when you get down to this time of year, you know, every team's affected by injuries, and those will certainly play a part. You know, ironically, Dobbins is the player who, you know, had the big hit on Jay Cutler in that Houston-Chicago game, and then
That's
Cutler
right.
winds up missing the game the next week against San Francisco. So, you know, I think you look at every team, and there are key injuries, you know, on all sides, and it's a fact of life in, you know, in all sports, but especially in the NFL. So, you feel bad for those guys that they won't get a shot. You know, we mentioned Schaub last year and Brian Cushing, you know, knocked out in that Jets game early this season as well. So it's a reality. It's a rough one for those involved.
Hey, Kenny, this is Russ. Speaking of Matt Schaub, it's his first playoff game. Even though he is 31 and he's a veteran now, do you think there'll be any butterflies with him?
There'll probably be some. But, you know, he's played in a number of big games, you know, in the regular season. And, you know, you mentioned his age, 31. It's ironic when you think about so many of the young quarterbacks, you know, especially in the NFC, you have four rookies or second-year quarterbacks who will start playoff games in the NFC with you know, the two rookies, obviously, in RG3 and Russell Wilson, and then the two second-year quarterbacks in Kaepernick and Ponder. And here you have a 31-year-old Matt Schaub, who was a backup to Michael Vick in Atlanta for a while, finally gets a chance to start in Houston, and at the age of 31, because of the injury last year, starts his first playoff game this weekend.
And quickly now on the star wide receivers, Kenny, on each team, A.J. Green, very good last year, but excellent this year. 97 receptions, 1,350 yards, 11 TDs. Andy Dalton's obviously favorite receiver. On the other side, Andre Johnson had a sensational year with some acrobatic catches. Only 4 TDs, but 112 receptions, 1,598 yards. Do you have a sense one way or the other? Can you look into a crystal ball? Dalton to Green, Schaub to Andre Johnson. Which one could possibly be the difference in the game? Obviously, the star quarterback wide receiver combinations.
Yeah, I think, Steve, either guy could be. You know, I don't see as much of the AFC doing mostly NFC games.
Right.
Didn't see the Texans at all this year. Did a game last year, Houston and Atlanta. Saw the Bengals in preseason this year, ironically against Atlanta as well. But just from the outside, you know, both guys had spectacular seasons. You know, you look back to that 2011 draft class with A.J. Green and Julio Jones, you know, both going very high.
Yes.
With the Falcons trading up, you know, trading multiple picks away. And then drafting Julio Jones and A.J. Green has obviously had two great years for Cincinnati. So you can't go wrong with either guy in either combination.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to move on to the second game, an NFC contest. And obviously, as you said, Kenny, your forte. Saturday night, 8 o'clock, Vikings at the Packers. As you know, this is the third time that they're playing in 5 weeks. Obviously, Minnesota had to win last week to get into the playoffs. The Packers were looking at a bye if they could have won. What can you say about Peterson? He went wild both games against the Packers. They split during the regular season. Vikings win last week in Minnesota. Packers win 23-14 back on December 2nd. Your big picture thoughts on the Vikings at the Packers Saturday at 8 p.m.?
Well, first of all, I'm really looking forward, you know, to all the games, but especially this one, because I was flying home and did not see any of the Green Bay-Minnesota game this past Sunday. I was on a flight home from Detroit from the Bears-Lions game, and the Bears obviously had, you know, a close eye on Minnesota and Green Bay. And,
yes.
You know, you can't say enough about Adrian Peterson and the season he had. I saw him 3 times in person, once again San Francisco early on, a game the Vikings won. And I think that game, you know, really opened a lot of people's eyes with regard to the Vikings, who were coming off a 3-win season last year. And then to go out and beat San Francisco, and Ponder was terrific in that game. You know, I know he kind of slumped after that. But and then we did both Minnesota-Chicago games down the stretch. Twice in the last 5 weeks they played each other, both teams winning at home. And Peterson had some big runs. And, you know, just so impressive the manner, you know, in which he was able to come back from the surgery in – you know, really 9 months to the start of the regular season, 8 months. Last, you know, New Year's, he was in bed, you know, tweeting out pictures following his surgery on December 30th. And to come back as strong as he did is incredible. And, you know, we talked to him in our production meeting prior to the second game, the one up in Minnesota, I guess about a month ago now. And I asked Adrian, you know, flat out, what was the most difficult part, most frustrating part of the whole thing? And he said it was really the first 2 months. When he couldn't do anything, when he had to stay in bed and couldn't do any physical activity. And he said, you know, after that 3-4 month mark, when he was finally able to get out on the field, and, you know, he said he was going too hard. His doctors and trainers had to tell him to slow down because they didn't want him to exacerbate the situation. But, you know, one of the most impressive, you know, comebacks that we've ever seen. You know, you just think about his head coach, Leslie Frazier, who suffered a career-ending injury, an ACL injury in Super Bowl 20 playing for the 85 Bears. Never played another game, and Adrian Peterson suffers the same injury and comes back and rushes for over 2,000 yards. Now, that being said, as far as the playoff matchup, it is so tough to beat a team 2 weeks in a row, you know, especially as the underdog, and when you have to go on the road for that second game. So, you know, I wouldn't expect the Vikings to win that game, but you never know. That's why they play him. Aaron Rodgers, you know, certainly among the NFC quarterbacks in the playoffs with by far the most experience, the only one of the six with a win in the postseason, because Matt Ryan's gone 0-3. So
right.
I think it'll be the Packers, but the Vikings have been an incredible story this year, you know, following the 3-13 last year.
Well, Aaron Rodgers, 4,295 yards, 39 touchdowns. Everybody knows how good he is. And I'm sure you know the Packers get back Charles Woodson, who did not play in the prior 2 games. He's been cleared to play, and he practiced fully on Wednesday. Jordy Nelson, a bit of a question mark with a knee, has to be further evaluated the rest of this week. On the other side, Ponder, you know, with a guy like AP, you think Ponder, I think, would put up better numbers, but he was very good last week, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Obviously, the Vikings had a little more at stake than the Packers. But in terms of going to Lambeau, on the road, even though the run game travels and AP is going to have a good game, you have to think. I have to agree with you. I think the Packers are going to be too tough for the Vikings. One other question. Clay Matthews, who missed four games during the regular season, 13 sacks in 12 games, seems to be healthy now. Do you think he's the key to trying to slow down Peterson, or are they just going to let Peterson get his and not let Ponder beat them? How do you think that's going to go down in terms?
You know, Clay Matthews is obviously huge, you know, as far as the Packers go and his comeback. But, you know, I think it'll be a big group effort. You know, Dom Capers does a tremendous job coordinating that defense, so he'll have a good plan. And, you know, I think they'd certainly like to stop Adrian Peterson, but, you know, they'll have 8 and 9 in the box, and you're probably right, try and make Christian Ponder beat them.
And also, Kenny, will the Packers have to establish some running game to sort of keep Minnesota's defense honest?
Yeah, you would think so. You know, I'm sure that's part of the plan. You know, these teams know each other well. They play twice a year, you know, within the division, and obviously just played on Sunday. So there won't really be too many secrets out there. It'll come down to execution and, you know, never easy to go win a playoff game in Green Bay. I know teams have done it recently. Michael Vick and the Falcons and the Giants have done it twice, but certainly will not be easy for these Vikings on Saturday.
And, Kenny, can you split in terms of – I'd like them to split this award, but in terms of comeback player in the of the year, how do you compare Peterson and his devastating injury and obviously the other choice, Peyton Manning, coming off his three neck surgeries over the last year or so? I'd like to see them both get the award. Can you split them one way or the other because of what Peterson did rushing-wise was so unbelievable?
Yeah, I'd like to see them both get it, too. You know, you hear stories about Peyton Manning working out, you know, early in the calendar year, and he could barely throw a ball. So to come back and do what he's done. You know, one other guy who won't win the award but hopefully will get some recognition is Thomas Davis of the Carolina Panthers, who came back from his third consecutive torn ACL, missed, you know, three straight seasons, played in a couple of games 2 years ago, but was knocked out of three straight seasons with a torn ACL. You know, he won't win the award because he's not, you know, one of the stars of the league like Peterson and Manning are. But, yeah, I think it would be poetic justice if they did split the award.
Yeah, it's hard to fathom he could even come back from three of those injuries. One final thing I just wanted to mention on Peterson, as you know, he came up 9 yards short of beating Eric Dickerson's all-time rushing record. And on the one hand, I think it's a jerky thing to say, but you almost have to give Dickerson credit. You probably heard him interviewed where he said, no, I don't want AP to beat my record. I want to keep my record. And I think that's the first time I've ever heard a guy actually come forward and say what most of these guys are probably thinking, which is, I want to keep this record. Having heard that, of course, I wanted Peterson to break it, but it seemed after the game Peterson was classy as well. He really just wanted to get the win to make the playoffs and didn't even know after the game whether he had been near the record or broken it or not.
Yeah, I mean, records are certainly nice, and, you know, the old adage, records are made to be broken, but I think if you ask Adrian Peterson, he would absolutely say, I'd rather make the playoffs than break the record. And, you know, he'll have another shot at it next year, so he still will have a number of years to try and break Dickerson's record.
We're here with Kenny Albert of Fox, football announcer for this segment anyway. We have two more games to go. We'll go to the Sunday games now. The first one, 1 o'clock, CBS, the AFC game, Indianapolis Colts at the Baltimore Ravens. I have to say, Kenny, I'm calling this the Emotion Bowl. Everybody knows the Chuck Pagano side of the story and how amazing it's been, Andrew Luck in the year he's had. But as you know, yesterday Ray Lewis announced his retirement, gave another passionate press conference, which seems to be what he does all the time. I did read one report, Kenny, where it said that Ray Lewis could have come back 1 or 2 weeks ago and decided not to. Personally, I find that hard to believe because you have to think, even though he's Ray Lewis, he's going to be rusty and he's going to walk right into a playoff situation. So what's your sense of Ray Lewis, and did you hear those reports, and are they believable to you? If the guy could have played last week, I would think he'd want to play 10, 15 plays just to get his feet back wet.
Yeah, I mean, unless you see those medical reports or in the training room, you know, I would have no idea. I did read some of the same stuff you read, but I think only the team doctors and medical staff would know the answer to that. And I guess the question still is, will he actually play in the game? Maybe it came out today, but I know yesterday, even though he announced, you know, this would be his last game and he's on the active roster, there was some speculation, you know, as to whether he would dress as part of the 46-man roster. I would assume he would at this point. But as far as the game goes, you know, like you said, it's Chuck Pagano coming back. It's against the, you know, the team he used to work for. It's Indianapolis coming back to Baltimore once again. You know,
right.
Mayflower moving vans pulled out in '84. You have that whole angle to it. But you know, I think it'll come down to obviously the two teams on the field. You know, the emotional stuff might kick in at the beginning of the game, but. You know, if you're a Ravens player, you can actually play any harder because it's Ray Lewis's last game. I think, you know, it's the playoffs. You're going to go, obviously, all out anyway. So
right.
Not sure how much of a factor that will be once the game starts and kicks in. But I think it'll be a close game also. You know, two teams that kind of struggle down the stretch with the Ravens losing 4 or 5 and Colts tailing off a bit. But Indianapolis, just a tremendous story, you know, coming off the year they went through last year without Peyton Manning and to be in the position to draft Andrew Luck, and then you bring in Chuck Pagano and his health situation and the job that the Colts were able to do with Bruce Arians. So I think it'll be a real close game.
Andrew Luck, when you look at his numbers, they really aren't overly impressive. 23 touchdowns, 18 picks, 54% completion rate. But as you know, the Colts take a lot of shots down the field. They're not afraid to gamble. Reggie Wayne stuck around, turned out to be a brilliant decision. Donnie Avery, my own favorite young receiver, T.Y. Hilton, receiving and returning kicks. But I think the key to Luck is his ability, and you've seen it already this year, Kenny. Fourth quarter comebacks, game-winning drives. I mean, it's just unbelievable what he's done late in the game, and he seems to raise his level as a rookie quarterback, hard to believe for me. He seems to raise his level at the end of the games. What are your thoughts on Luck in his first season?
Yeah, he really does. Again, seems to be mature beyond his years, and, you know, I didn't see him in person at all this year, but, you know, just seeing the highlights, and I think back to a conversation I had with Greg Roman, the 49ers offensive coordinator, who was his coordinator at Stanford. And you know, all the you know, positives that Greg had to say about him, and you know, as both a person and a player, and you know, it's amazing when you think towards the future that if Luck has the 10 or 15 year career that we all expect, you know, barring a major injury, the Colts will go through like a 30 year stretch if you take out last year with only two starting quarterbacks, which is amazing. So
yeah,
you know, it's again, it's been fun to watch and. Should be a great game on Sunday.
Kenny, Joe Flacco seems to be a lightning rod in the talk radio scene. Do you think if he were to lose this game, it could possibly mean a change in the future for the Ravens at quarterback?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at Flacco's career, similar to Mark Sanchez, you know, more of a game manager on a team with a terrific defense and a great running game. Not that the Jets had a great running game the last 2 years, but prior to when they went to the AFC Championship games, they did. And you know, he's put up some numbers in the playoffs as far as wins that are unmatched. You know, when you look at the playoff games that Flacco has won, especially on the road. So, you know, those decisions obviously come down during the off season. Ravens did make it to the playoffs. They win their division, but you know, obviously a big chance for them this weekend and beyond.
Well, we'll talk more about great rushes helping young quarterbacks in the final game, Kenny, but I just wanted to ask you one question about the Colts running game, which I think part of the reason in my mind Luck is the rookie of the year is because they had no running game for the first 10, 11, 12 games. Now, Vic Ballard of late has really come on to give the Colts a semblance of a running game. We all know as good as the Ravens defense has been for years, it's down a little this year. Give me your thoughts on Ballard, the running game. Is that going to help Luck out more now than it did earlier in the season where he certainly had his troubles on the road? Or do you think the Ravens with Lewis and Ed Reed and Suggs and the experience, et cetera, will be able to shut down the Colts?
Right. I mean, to be honest, I didn't see the Colts at all this year, so it's kind of hard for me to answer. But, you know, having watched from afar, again, like I said, it'll be a terrific matchup.
Okay, we're going to move to the final game, and to me, maybe the most interesting one, Seattle. You know, I live in the East. You live in the East. Hard to get a read sometimes on Seattle, but this year their defense has been good from day one. I'm not a big fan of Pete Carroll, you know, fake punts up 30. I'm really down on that myself, but...
Although he did apologize for that, right?
He did.
Right after the game and apologized.
Yeah, he did, but, you know, it was some kind of automatic play. You know, I don't know if you have automatic fake punts when you're up 30, but whatever, you're right, he did apologize. Separating totally from that, Seattle, Russell Williams, Washington, of course, with RG3, and you give them both credit for having great years, but I think a lot of the focus should be on Marshawn Lynch, Albert Morris. These guys didn't get the pub they should have gotten because Peterson was on a record pace all year long coming off that injury. But Albert Morris, 1,613 yards. Marshawn Lynch, 1,590 yards, five yards per carry. Give me your sense. Obviously, you know these teams very well. They're in the NFC. I think a lot of the success of RG3 and Russell Wilson has to do with the fact that they've had excellent running attacks and, as you know, makes the play-action pass much more dangerous.
It's too bad one of these teams has to lose because when you look at what the Redskins have been able to do the last 7 weeks, I did their game against Carolina when they dropped to 3-6 with the loss, and Mike Shanahan came out after the game and said, you know, we're going to start evaluating for the future, and they haven't lost since. And, you know, you have to give RG3 a lot of credit. Kirk Cousins, who came in and won
sure.
two of those games, one at the end against the Ravens and then beat the Browns the next week. And you mentioned Alfred Morris, you know, a sixth-round pick out of Florida Atlantic, played for Howard Schnellenberger, won one game last year as a senior. Everybody passes on him for five rounds. Redskins finally take him in the sixth round. And, you know, we know what Shanahan's been able to do with sixth-round running backs before. Just look at Terrell Davis. And Jim Haslett did a great job with the defense as the coordinator. So fun team to watch. You know, RG3 right from the start. We also worked his first game in New Orleans, and you could tell from the moment he walked into the room, you know, what an impressive young man he is. And same with Russell Wilson. Did their game week two against Dallas when no one really knew much about Wilson. He beat Matt Flynn out, you know, during the training camp. Flynn had been a big free agent signing from Green Bay. And, you know, you look at Seattle's defense with those big starters in the secondary, and you know, their defense kind of took charge in that Dallas game. Wilson's been tremendous, and you know, you look back to that Green Bay game, and that kind of gave them the impetus for their undefeated season at home. And it's been a great see West, and it was a division just 2 years ago where a 7-9 Seahawk team won the division and made the playoffs, and now, you know, with San Francisco and Seattle among the two best teams in the league. So again, this is a game that, you know, you hate to see one of the teams lose because they've both been such great stories this year.
Yeah, looking at the Seattle defense, especially their secondary, Richard Sherman, who beat that PED rap by using the Ryan Braun defense, you'll call. You know, you'll recall they didn't collect things right. But he's a little too cocky for me, but an excellent corner. But I think even more important than that, Brandon Brown are coming back from his own four-game suspension for PEDs. As you alluded to, Kenny, 6'4", 221-pound cornerback. Seattle obviously relies on their corners to shut down the wide receivers. But do you think their defense can stop the number one rushing team in the NFL, the Washington Redskins? Don't forget, and I know you know this, RG3 had a tremendous rushing year as well. I believe he had something like 812 yards or some incredible number for a quarterback. So he and Morris together are just stunning numbers. 815 yards, let me correct myself, but they have stunning rushing numbers. Can Seattle stop that running game?
Well, the thing with RG3 is he hasn't been doing it as much, you know, since suffering the injury. So I'm not sure he's as much of a threat to run, you know, depending on his health status. But,
yes,
you know, with Morris, you know, a lot of it has to do with the system, the zone blocking system that we saw, you know, from Shanahan in Denver, and Alex Gibbs brought it down to Atlanta as well. So, you know, we'll see what those guys can do. You know, you have the passing threat as well with RG3 and you know, the confidence that he has in all of his receivers, whether it's Pierre Garçon, Santana Moss, Leonard Hankerson, or the guys out of the backfield. So, you know, I'm real interested, like I said, in watching all four of these games, but in particular the two NFC games with Green Bay, Minnesota, and Washington, Seattle.
Kenny, my last question for you is, with RG3 wearing a brace, if he were to just become a pocket passer in this game, could he still win? Is he accurate enough? Will he hit on enough bombs? Or do you think they're going to key on him then?
Well, I think, you know, if he doesn't have the threat to run at all, it certainly, you know, would be a telltale sign for the defense as far as coverage. But I think that'll always be there. You know, you see guys who are running quarterbacks who maybe slow down towards the end of their careers. I don't think we'll see that from RG3 the next couple of years. I think just now in particular due to the injury that he suffered against the Ravens.
We only have a couple minutes left with Kenny Albert, and we greatly appreciate you coming on, Kenny. I want to switch gears on you a little, not that this will be a curveball because you can handle all these things, but I just wanted to bring up, aside from the NFL playoffs, the NHL lockout, which has just been a disaster. I'm a lifelong hockey fan. I know you've been doing the Rangers since, I think, 1995. What's your sense one way or the other on, is anything happening? Are these rumors of a little progress real? It would be death, I think, to hockey. And, again, I love hockey. It would be death to the NHL. They're not the NFL. They're not the NBA. They're not Major League Baseball if they lose a season here. I know Gary Bettman's taking the hard stand he took once before. But what do you think, and what, if anything, are you hearing about the NHL lockout?
Well, I think they'll be back, and you know, I'm only hearing what I read and what I see on Twitter and from various reports, and they're meeting right now as we speak. So it just seems like they're so close right now. I would be shocked if they didn't start up on January 19th.
Well, the one thing I'll add is that, Kenny, you probably know, but a lot of the guys were renting the practice ice today. There was a large number, so that's probably a good sign.
Yeah, I would hope so, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed, but you know, they've met for about 6 days in a row now until the wee morning hours, so I would be pretty shocked if it didn't get done.
Kenny Albert, I can't thank you enough for coming on with us. Thanks for your analysis. Good luck in the future. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, guys. Anytime. I enjoyed it.
That was Kenny Albert of Fox. This is Steve Callis along with Russ Cohen signing off on our NFL playoff preview.